Welcome, everyone. This is Lisa Harrison. Welcome to this week's broadcast of The Collective Imagination. And listening to that intro says it all. Welcome to the new paradigm that you have created individually and collectively through your own intent, your own creative power. I am very proud of each and every one of us. There is a new paradigm dawning, and it's just a matter for us to actually become aware of it now. Oh, thank you. And welcome to Barbara.
Howdy.
I really enjoyed listening to that intro this morning. It was perfect. It's just a reminder of who we are and what we're doing here. It was brilliant.
Yeah, totally agree. But they're all your words, girlfriend.
Well, you said them so beautifully, girlfriend.
Well, I'm really glad to be here, too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. And Bob, how you doing there in Pennsylvania?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I was sick over the past weekend. I don't know if anybody else got that whole, what did you say, achy, sore throat?
It was fever, chills, sore throat, crap.
That thing, yeah.
That thing, we both had it.
Yeah, we did. But I feel a lot better now. And I'm happy to be here. Welcome everyone to the show.
Can't catch anything via Skype, can you?
I don't know.
I was the third member of my family to do it in a week. I don't know if you've had people around you going through the same thing.
Oh, yeah. It went through the whole apartment. Justin got it. The baby got it. I got it. Yeah.
And what about you down there in Melbourne, Chris?
I'm going good. I had a little... a little biological burst shortly after Christmas, but so did a number of other relatives of mine. It came and went very quickly, so I'm going fine, and so far I can report I haven't caught anything over Skype from you guys, so we can confirm that. But the new paradigm is causing my brain to continue to explode, and looking forward to today's conversation about it.
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like someone else in the chat room, 1M, has also had it for a week. So I keep hearing, oh, I've got that thing that's going around. Mm. It's like, yeah.
Well, hang on, guys. Let's test that theory. All right, report back in a couple of days.
Oh, very funny. Okay, we actually have a caller straight up. So before we do jump into our conversation, let's bring them out. Area code 206.
Hello, Julian.
Hey, Julian. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm on my drive home. Hard to catch the beginning of your show because it's during my commute usually. And I was trying to listen to the show on my smartphone through the website for links, but... just wasn't having it, so I had to call in to listen, but I figured I'd say hi since you picked me up, but
okay.
I don't have any questions or anything.
Wow, that's dedication. We love you!
All right, well, thanks for saying hi, and I'll put you back on mute, and you can just sit back and enjoy listening.
And we're sure he was driving with Bluetooth.
Of course, absolutely.
Of course.
Yes. wow, where do we even start? I mean, we did start last week. But more and more continues to unfold over the course of the week. I personally got lots of feedback from last week's call. You guys were very grateful that we touched on the subject of the One People's Trust because many of you were aware of it. And if you've been anything like us, it's all you've done for the last week is research it, read it, reread it, discuss it. It's been, you know, pretty prominent part of my day for the whole week, and Chris's and Bob's, excuse me, and others that we're connected to. So I know Chris probably wants to jump out and say something, so I'm going to let him.
I'll try and curb my enthusiasm here because I'm not the only voice by any means on this subject, but I've been spending quite a bit of time reading the documents, and I can absolutely recommend that if you can get your head around the intricacies of the legalese, which is not too bad after a while, it's an amazing collection of, well, it's an amazing collection of filings. They're all legal filings, but they form a structure and they have a sequence and they have an amazing effect. And the most interesting thing about them that really knocks me out is that for the first time in human history, we actually have a legally based volume of human writings that actually link humanity to the creator at the very base level and then build on it to create a structure of governance. It's quite a stunning achievement by Heather and her colleagues.
I just wanted to say one thing that people might not be aware of because they only just went live a couple of hours ago, and I'll put the link into the chat room. But of course it's the People's Trust 1776.org website. Is a new document was released this morning under press releases called Current State 1111.1. And it's not written in the legalese anywhere near as well. It's not. It's still written in that sort of 5D language, but not legalese.
Yeah, it's got a fair few references to filings in it, which it has to have because everything that Heather is doing relates back to, if you like, legally registered documents that form, you know, this body of work that she's done. So there's lots of references in there, but the rest of it's in pretty much plain English.
But bringing this back to and keeping it in line with the collective imagination and that and the collective intent, you know, this is everything we asked for. And more. It's the things we didn't even think to ask for, but would have had we thought of them. It's freedom to an extent that we've not even fully grasped. And it's here, now. And that's the bit I really want to try and emphasize everyone to try and get their head around. It's here now. And
perhaps
it's simply a matter of stepping into it.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Perhaps if I was just going to talk for a minute about that little summary that I wrote yesterday for our discussion, where I described the effect that these filings actually had when they were complete. And we did get a confirmation from Heather that this actually is the correct way to think about it. That two things happened when the filings were complete. And if you start to read the filings, you'll notice is that there's sort of two strains going on. There's a line of documents that are creating a new form of government, a line of documents that are shutting down the old stuff, absolutely and completely. And the way they've gone about it is quite intricate, and it's determined really by the situation and somewhat hard to follow, but in effect, what happened when the trustees filed the last document, towards the process, you can see from the documents that they'd actually bailed up the system and said, hey, you've committed treason, rebut that. They didn't. They were foreclosed on and shut down. That's one thing that happened. When she completed the documents, that whole system was actually legally shut down. The corporations are no more. They ceased to exist at that point. The other thing that happened, as a background to that, the trustees secured the assets of the planet in the name of the people. So all those massive gold and jewels and silver and precious metal assets that the powers that be and that their competitors have been fighting over for hundreds of years were actually secured for humanity equally by the process. Okay. And the other thing that happened at that point, or the new form of governance, the CVAC entities, the first one came online, bang. Now, the thing you have to realize about the CVAC entities is that these are hubs for the purposes of serving humanity. They're not hierarchies of authority to which we must obey and, you know, and follow all the rules. These are conduits of value. The value of the assets is now directly accessible by humans, and the mechanism in the end will be via these CVAC hubs, although we can access it directly because we actually have the right to. But essentially, at the moment the last filing took place, every human on the planet was attached to the single CVAC that's been activated at this point. Now, the CVAC is actually a hub. It's bonded to the Creator the same way the trustees are. It's purpose is to serve humans. It does have to do so transparently and in complete honor. The ethical standards that the CVAC hubs that work to are just amazing. It's such a hoot to read them because it's everything that the old system is not. And at the moment that last filing went in, every human on the planet was attached to that one CVAC. Now, they have stated that they've allowed for 195 of these because there's currently 195 nations. And it's really an acknowledgement of the fact that we've got a lot of geographical and community differences, and it's more convenient to have something in the region that people are used to operating in, which is currently we would call a country, which also ceased to exist at the moment the things were completed. Now, each CVAC serves all humans. There's actually no divisions as far as countries are concerned anymore. That whole concept goes.
All humans equally everywhere.
All humans equally everywhere. So if you're in Buenos Aires, you could deal with the CVAC in the US if you wanted to, but you might as well use the one that's closer if you had some matters to deal with. So we are all attached to the one thing for the first time in history. I'll stop there because that's enough of an information dump at this point, but the concept that I think we all need to get into our heads is that we're already there. Okay, now this is legally on paper. Looking around us now, that isn't reality yet, but our thought, our human collective imagination has caused the universe to manifest this thing which has come into reality legally, and the next step which we'll be talking about later in this conversation is what do we do about it to make it come into a physical reality. But I'd like to throw it back to Bob and Lisa and Barbara to put in whatever things they want to add at this point.
Yeah, Bob, go for it.
Well, I think it's one of those things that it takes time to digest everything, because we've been so long operating under this whole slavery system. We've been operating with this whole idea of these authority figures being over us, and it's almost hard to actually accept the fact that, wait, it's over? Is it really over? The whole cabal, the whole darkness, the whole duality, it's all over. I mean, on paper it is. It's all over. And I don't know. I just sit back and I scratch my head, I think, sometimes, and I'm like, wow. I don't know how to express it. But I do know I have a hard time.
It's up to us now to embody it, and that's what we want to do on this show is really embody that and reaffirm our intent, because this, if we all got on the same, let's say that we as a group here together, those who participate with this show, were to write down and agree upon what the world would look like in an ideal situation, that's what's happened.
You gotta stop and think, you know, if when this is all a reality, you know, our motivations completely change now. What are you going to do with this freedom? You know, you don't have to worry about money anymore because our whole lives have basically been geared about making ends meet. So once that's gone and you don't have to worry about it anymore, now what are you going to do with all of this freedom? How are you going to spend your time? You're going to want to do something that fulfills you, you know, that fulfills your, that you really want to do. And what is it that you've been holding yourself back from doing because we had to, quote unquote, go to work or do our jobs? You know, what is it that we, you know, have always dreamed that we can do? Where is it that you want to live? There's no more borders. You know, all of these things now become possible. There's so many different opportunities. And we didn't even start to begin to talk about the technologies that are coming forth and becoming available, and what that actually means, because that adds a whole different realm of possibilities, you know, to explore. I think we're going to have an amazing future ahead of us.
Well, Bob, one of the things that is very obvious in these latest document disclosure and the 1111 and the 111.1 is that you have a choice. Every single one of us has a choice. We are, in fact, for the first time, free to choose to be and do. And there's a call of action implied in these documents. Now that you have this free will choice, I mean, you've always had it, but, you know, on a higher dimensional level, but down here in 3D, it didn't feel like it, that what are you going to do with it? What are you going to choose to do and be? And there's a call of action to do and be something. What is it? So I think for a lot of us, there's going to be a bit of time out to reevaluate who I am and what it is I want to do and what all of this means for me before anybody takes any action. I think it's perfectly okay to feel that you need that reevaluation time, don't you think? Because some people have never asked themselves that question. They've never had the time to ask themselves the question, or felt like they were in the circumstances to ask themselves the question.
You know, was it, I don't remember if it was you, Lisa, or somebody who mentioned it, and I don't know if it was included in the documents, but in order to get these funds, everyone should take a 3-month vacation.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Is a 3-month vacation to which would effectively shut down the old system.
Yeah, I mean everybody should take a 3-month vacation and just relax. You know, what does it feel like to just relax, to have no obligations? You know, does anybody really know what that feels like?
Myself personally, no, I don't. But I'm looking forward to doing that. In fact, I actually think what should be happening now is what happened at the end of the last of the Star Wars movies, where they flick from planet to planet, and on each planet there's just a massive celebration going on.
Mm.
I see us as actually having that at some point when this realization actually hits and things come to the foreground and actually manifest as real resources, inequity, and that all the old governments and all their corruption and all their shenanigans are just not there anymore.
It's going to come through in waves, you know, waves of recognition, waves of available tools. You know, it'll come through in waves. And once the party starts, it won't stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've had various discussions about what the process will be to get from where we are now. We're on paper, all of this amazing stuff is now in place and available, to a situation where it's manifested and that's the way we're living. And the way that I view it is this, and I can tell you now my particular views on this are open to be changed by new information at any moment, because the situation will be very rapidly evolving, is that the government system and the corporate system will actually wither away. It will actually kind of just shut down under the under the weight of its own requirements for cash flow as taxpayers and energy creators leave the system and go over to the new style of living. It'll be a case of the, because when you, if you read this last document from the trustees, what they say is that the real asset is us, the energy of us, and that would be absolutely true. As if we withdrew our energy, and Bob said it a minute ago, if we went on a holiday for 3 months, even if we just all decided to do it for no reason, the whole system shuts down. The corporate system as we know it would completely fail.
Oh,
because we're withdrawing our energy from it.
If you did it for 3 days, it would shut down.
Yeah, it would completely fail. So the withdrawal of our energy from the old system and moving it to the new is the key. And this is the being and doing that I think the trustees are trying to tell us is needed. That we need to actually be aware.
Well, a good question coming to the chat, Chris, which is what about the dictatorships? I mean, monarchy.
Are we talking about the ones that are operating in the backgrounds of nations, or ones that are operating in the foregrounds? You know, there's some dictatorships and monarchies in Africa, etc., that are right in everybody's faces, and then there's the subtle ones in Europe.
I think he's talking about the in-your-face ones in the UK, for example.
They don't actually have a system anymore. They're still there. They'll still have supposedly title to assets. But one of the things that must happen for all of this redevelopment of the whole planet to take place is that the assets have to be secured under the control of the trustees. That is all the gold and silver. Now, what's happened to the Bank of England? Is there any stuff left in there? Because one of the things that the work of the trustees does is it actually removes all titles. Okay, there are no titles anymore. We're talking titles to land, titles to stuff. That's all been returned to become a, well, actually, the stuff that's real and is of value reverts to us, because they were foreclosed upon and everything that they have was removed, and all of the corporations, etc., that claim they have titles to our land, all that documentary stuff's just gone. It's just not there anymore. So essentially those monarchies become just paper tigers.
I think the simple way to state it is that their resources will dry up. And in order to get more resources, they have to come on board with the new system, because there just won't be anything left in the corporate world for them to rely upon.
Here's an interesting look. I'll find this number in a minute. There's actually a number that's defined as being the amount of funds allocated to this new CVAC. And it in and of itself is, if you want to just look at it from a monetary point of view, that CVAC that's been activated has more money than all the governments on the planet combined at this point in time, and probably all of the rich people on the planet combined at all this time. So, you know, who's going to be able to run the health systems? Who's going to be able to run the transport systems, education systems, food supply system, food creation systems? The old system will simply run out of energy because we'll withdraw it.
It's already happening. I mean, I was reading that article where the Vatican can no longer use any credit because it's all been frozen and blocked. You know, in Pennsylvania here, there was a big uproar because a lot of healthcare workers aren't getting paychecks. You know, so it's only a matter, and it's of time that all of these systems just start to shut down on their own, and they'll be forced to look for another resource for funding.
Yeah. So the paradigm shift is in the fact that the old system completely relied on commerce. It relied on frenetic activity by people to generate cash flow, and we're talking at all levels in the system. And if you actually remove people from the system, you know, it's geared to expect a certain amount of energy through it to simply maintain itself, and it'll reach a point where there's just not enough there anymore. The government won't be able to pay the bills, as Bob just pointed out, and the people put in those positions will be looking around saying, well, what am I going to do next? And then there's this entity that's sitting there that's saying, step away from being a slave in that system, and you will have all the resources you could ever have wanted to live on and proceed from this point in your life. And it'll literally get, you know, and we need to talk about the how you actually withdraw from the system. I think that's a good point of discussion, because in part that's what's required as part of this process, withdrawing from the system and telling it that you're going.
A couple of things here, Chris. Julian, I'm going to go back. There's a couple of questions that have come up. One is Arthur saying he doesn't get it. Who will enforce the piece of paper? Mike's answered him by saying us.
It does go a little further than that.
It does.
Actually, a lot further, and we'll bring that up. What was the other question?
Oh, yeah. How do we know that the One People's Trust is not just another smokescreen? I mean, we all have... Oh, hang on, it just moved. I mean, we all have is three trustees, word on paper, and that's not enough for me. So how and when do we see this in the mainstream media?
Mainstream media is owned by the other side, and at the moment appears to be still under their direction. What we're waiting for in terms of the mainstream media is a disclosure event which will force the mainstream media to stop playing the agenda of the owners of these companies and start playing the agenda of the people.
I don't think we have long to wait, because we've got Obama's inauguration happening on Sunday, you know, officially in the background, Monday officially publicly. If that doesn't go ahead, or if that doesn't go ahead as expected, if the oath that he says is not the exact word for word same oath that every other president has said, then you'll have your sign.
Yeah, that will be the beginning of disclosure. There's a lot of speculation going around about exactly what will happen over the next 4 or 5 days, and all we can say is watch this space, because the logical place for this all to begin is for the American political scene to take a big left turn, and that really is right down now in the hands of what Obama does next. I'll just speak to the enforcement, Lisa, if you don't mind, because that's a really interesting part of this. And look, as far as your confidence in these in the processes that have taken place, if you can, you know, if you have the time and the inclination to actually read the documents, you will begin to understand the depth that they have, the stuff that these people have written. It is nothing short of gobsmacking, the degree to which they have crossed T's and dotted I's. And you'd have to look at it and say, if this is a psyop, why would you bother? There's cheaper ways to put out a psyop that has you know, just as much effect on distracting people as not. The depth to this is quite stunning, and it's only really revealed if you can start wading through the documents. And I'd recommend you start reading the bonds that each of the trustees swore, the oath and bond, and move from that to a document called Declaration and Order, which is in the next menu, which I've moved off that website, but there's a menu called Orders, I think, and it's a declaration order. It's the last document. It's sort of a summary document, and it'll give you a feel for the process that's taken place. And as soon as you'll find that the language is difficult, but there's always a preamble that defines the parties and other specifications needed for the second part of the document, which is the declaration of what the document's actually trying to say, and then there's a, if you like, an end. So the good bits are all about a third of the way through the documents. You start to get to the bit that's really relevant in this particular document that makes it, you know, do whatever it's going to do. That's where you start to build up your level of confidence in what's happened, because there's so much work in this. Why would you bother? I've never seen anything like it. It's quite stunning. You know, the other. Yep.
Another thing that you need to, because I was reading some of the comments in the chat, and they're asking about, you know, this. It's all. How do I know it's real? It's just on paper. If you look at any law on the planet, I don't care where you are, any law on the planet, and you can trace it back to a UCC code. Absolutely. It is the bottom line. It is the skeletal structure of the beast. UCC is the skeleton of this system that we've been living in under. The commerce, it is the Bible. So by filing things there, at the root of the base of the structure itself, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, they use their own system against them. And these filings are real. Once it becomes filed and it's part of the public record, it can't be refuted. They can't deny it. They can't go against it because it would make everything in that system then would become invalid. If they say that, oh, well, UCC is not valid, then they've already invalidated every government on the planet, and the end result is
they bite their nose to spite their face, in other words.
Exactly. And Arthur, you're also right. It means that we can stop waiting. It's just like in The Wizard of Oz. When they all finally got to the wizard, right, they already had what they were looking for. But perhaps the straw man needed that diploma in his hand to say, yes, I'm smart. And perhaps maybe, you know, the tin man needed that little toy heart that he got, you know, to say that, yes, I can feel. You know, now we have this UCC filing that says, okay, you have legal precedence now to actually be free. Now go be free. So, you know, we have that release. We have the ability now to do or be whatever it is we choose to do or be.
It's a brilliant, brilliant analogy. Well done, because we have always had free will, choice to be and do. But we've been convinced of otherwise, and we just needed that piece of paper to confirm it for us.
Right.
It doesn't change anything about who we are. We're just, now we can have some sort of intellectual, okay, we've been given a green light to be it, finally.
And what are we going to do?
Well, I'm really glad you chimed in about the UCC being the basis of all law, because I'm so excited about this stuff, I forget the basics, Bob, so that was really good. And the other thing that the trustees did when they were structuring these filings, they took over ownership of the UCC and kept it as part of the structure that they're going to use from this point forward. They actually own UCC as part of their filings.
Okay, guys, I have a quick update. D from Removing the Shackles is going to join us in 5 minutes, so I just need to pop off and give her instructions on how to do that.
So, and while you're doing
said,
that... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
She also said that tell them we fully agree, and so does Judge Dale, with the synopsis. The corporate US cannot refute the UCC because first they would have to prove that they are not a corporation.
Bingo.
And they can't do that. They just can't, because they are.
Well, all our governments are corporations.
That's
all
right. The evidence that they are is abundant.
Yeah, exactly. Well, our own government, the Australian government, head office is in Washington, D.C., in the Australian Embassy. That's where the corporation is headquartered, not here. Okay? And this is how deep it goes when you start going down the rabbit hole. And while you're sorting out D, I'll do a quick description of the way we've interpreted the enforcement provisions in these documents, just to give people an idea of where that's gone. And I'll probably need your assistance again, Bob, to make sure we get the message across. If that's okay, Lisa? Yep, she's already gone.
Yeah,
okay.
She's already gone.
I don't know what you said then, so just carry on.
Oh, no, I'll keep going. Okay. What they did was they actually bound as a party in one of the documents the entire military of the United States. And they put them on notice that they were being bound as public servants to the public trust. And that they were actually going to be the enforcement arm of this whole new structure. And what I'll do is actually read out the orders that they were given as part of that bonding. What it essentially means, by the way, because they're bonded as public trust, public servants to the trust, and again, this appears, the specifications of the obligations of a public servant to the trust or to a CVAC appear in these documents. They actually serve all humans everywhere. It's not just the United States. So they've actually selected the United States military per se, but they're bonded to serve everybody. And here's the statement they make about their trust.
And now we can actually say, fortunately, we've got U.S. troops on just about every country, continent.
Yeah, 800 U.S. bases approximately worldwide. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Here's the orders. Arrest and take into a custody any and all certain states of body. Now, a state of body is a human, as defined in these filings. So when you hear states of body, it's a human. All certain states of body, their agents, officers, and other actors, regardless of domicile by choice, repossess all private money systems, tracking, transferring, issuing, collection, legal enforcement systems, operating slavery systems, and any and all other systems prepaid for by the several state citizens without consent, inclusive of those commandeered there from and to secure said until further order be duly issued by the undersigned, and the undersigned are the trustees. You are duly forbidden and prohibited from taking the blood and life of any state of body created by the Creator. You are duly authorized and ordered to protect and preserve the blood and life of any state of body. You are absolutely granted dual authority of discretion to forthwith implement and use any and all means, force and strategies known and unknown of the Creator and the created to complete this order done and operated with the restrictions stated herein, by, with, and under your full personal liability, ensured by your due oath and bond as identified herein restated, and further guaranteed and insured by, with, and under the full personal liability of the undersigned bond servants, states of body, and trustees. This authority and order are prepaid, pre-authorized, and pre-approved. That's typical of the language they use throughout these documents, and you can see it's extremely comprehensive. But as far as enforcement is concerned, it's the United States military, and it's for everybody.
Now,
Bob.
We've been hearing for a long time that there are supposedly, you know, white hats or whatever you want to call them within the U.S. military who are refusing to take corporate orders, who are waiting for the opportunity to actually live up to their real oath. People like that are going to embrace this.
Yeah. The United States military, you know, have a tradition of really following the spirit of the oath that they've taken. And I think that'll play out in reality, given that there's some factions inside the military in the United States, and they appear to have been doing some housekeeping and house cleaning the last few months, so I hope they've got it all sorted. But I don't think this process would have reached this stage without their support. I really don't. So the fact that we're sitting here now even reading these documents and musing over the possibilities that they present is a good sign that the U.S. military are actually already on board. That's the way I'm reading it.
Now, I'm just curious. Consider this a poll. Who is of the belief, or, you know, even perhaps sitting on the fence at this point, just type your answers into the chat room, that Obama is, you know, potentially a light worker in, you know, who's playing a role right now. I just want to get a feel for the percentages here on where everyone's at with this idea. It's been floating around for as long as he's been on the table. Okay, we're getting a couple of yeses. Always felt he was, but some of his actions lately, okay. I do think so. Okay. That's interesting. I'm not saying either way, by the way. I'm a fence sitter on this one, unfortunately. I'd like to be able to say definitively one way or the other, but my attitude towards him, certainly initially, was definitely just another puppet. I didn't see any reason to think otherwise. It's only been probably the last 12 months maximum that I've actually started to question that myself, but I'm not there yet. I'm still very much of two minds on that one. He's agreed to be pushed around till he gets empowered by the people in general. Yeah, well, that's why I'm sort of focused on what happens over the next 4 or 5 days with this inauguration. See what happens.
Mm. Yeah, the document that Heather, the trustees published today, makes direct references to this, that particular situation, the inauguration, and the timing of it, and the other information that we've had out of, if you like, from the insiders, which was routed to us by Dee, who will hopefully be joining us in a moment. And more or less stated that the sequence of events that we'd been told about, that Nasara had kicked in, that the president had been removed and various other people arrested and you know, interim presidents appointed and all that stuff, was actually a New World Order theatre show.
Well, actually,
it was actually
a
program.
We can bring Dee now. Hello, Dee.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wow, modern technology
Welcome.
Is so wonderful.
Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to have you, that I could come in with you guys. I managed to scoot all the kids into bed fast tonight.
Good work.
And good work, yeah. This whole One People's Trust has been the sole topic of conversation so far on the show for the last 40 or so minutes, but we're really glad you could join us and bring us in, because I'm sure a lot of the audience has visited your website and seen some of the information you've been sharing as well. So today's release, how does that fit in with the other sources of information you've been getting and sharing, and where do you sit with it?
Oh, you're coming out with the big questions first, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't just
not even a warm-up. Gee.
Typical Australian.
Yeah, that's right. Just jump right in, 2 feet. Honestly, I am this afternoon with getting that together, it's been a whirlwind, a complete whirlwind. I've read the document through twice, and I'm still trying to absorb the whole magnanimous nature of it all. I was on the phone with Heather. I actually just tried to get a hold of her to see if I could drag her in on the conversation too, but she's crashed out. It's just been a complete whirlwind, like I said. It's unbelievable. Is there anything specific? Oh, goodness. Oh.
The question of Nasara has come up a bit
so far. If I could just jump in here. Between Lisa and Dee, hi Dee, it's Chris here. Just between the two of you, do you want to give a very quick synopsis of the initial information that you were given about what had happened in December, just so people who are listening who aren't across that know what you're going to say next? Otherwise, it won't make much sense to them.
Okay. Through my various intel contacts, I got woken up in the middle of the night on December 4th or 5th, I can't even remember now, with a call saying, you better get out of bed. Amazing stuff is going down. And the next morning, when a gang of us were all able to kind of cross-reference intel, what had taken place was that Interpol and I believe with the American positive military came in with permission from the world courts, from The Hague, they did what they call a snatch and grab, I guess, or a catch and release is what they called it. 303 government governors, senators, et cetera, were brought before a Supreme Court judge. We're told you are now working under the American Constitution, the organic original Constitution, and if you don't, you're going to wear orange pajamas for the rest of your life. There were a few who were sent away not to return. I guess those were the real bad ones. I haven't got confirmation on numbers. The next day, I think that was the 4th, the next day, Speaker of the House, Bonner, was signed or sworn in as the interim president of the United States. Now, I'm not supposed to be talking about this. I got warned off. I got a big call this morning today warning me off for talking about stuff like this. So, oh, well, I'm in trouble again.
Dee?
Yes.
Be free. Remember, be free.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. And that's kind of what I kind of said to them is if all the intel community knows what's going on, the public have a right to know. Now, the interesting thing is this. With all this going on, and I've, of course, been following it very, very closely, and it's not a matter of having hearing this from one person. You have to excuse me. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat tonight. This was cross-referenced from, I lost track of how many people, from all avenues, from financial to government to military all aspects. So it's not just, you know, made up out of whole cloth, you know, someone saying, oh, Nisara, we want Nisara, you know. It was very, very well documented. And some of the reactions that we're seeing is, like I said, on removing the shackles, I said, well, think about it. When was the last time you've heard Bonner in the news every single day since that time? So anyways, then, of course, we came up to the 25th and the People's Trust burst onto the scene. And, of course, I immediately it was actually really, really humorous. I have to tell you a little backstory to this. I talk to the writer for American Kabuki quite often, and I had a technical question I wanted to ask him about something about 3 days after he had posted the initial People's Trust stuff. And I had been following it on his site and was very, very interested, but at the time I was really, really embroiled in everything that was going on with the Nisara stuff. So I turned around and I said to him in a phone call, I said, well, I asked him something about Heather and the People's Trust, and he was like, well, you're CC'd on all the emails. And I was like, what? No, I'm not. Every single one of the emails from her had gone to my spam box. When I went into my spam box, I discovered I had 4 more emails from readers that just mentioned the People's Trust, and suddenly, all of a sudden, they seemed to have all appeared in my spam box. So, the fun jokes that they'd like to play on us, right? So anyways, I got on the phone with Heather, and the first time I spoke with her, just kind of, you get... I can't wait for you guys all to meet her and speak to her yourselves. I kind of got hit in the face with this incredible energy, no other word to put it, and that instant knowing of this is it, this is what I'm supposed to be working on. So, and since that moment on the 25th, it's just steamrolled. It's every day it's steamrolled into more and more, and I cannot even begin to tell you some of the conversations we've all had. But mind-blowing would be the first word I could use to describe it.
Yes, we're all trying to put our brains back together over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seems that just as you start to get your head around one document, another one is released that puts you straight back to square one.
Yes, and usually without any notice.
Yes.
The one that we got today, I had 25 minutes notice before it was released. And I was talking to her on Skype when she said to me, no, you don't do anything. Just stay here. I'm just finishing up the last, you know. I was like, okay, well, I have to read it at least first before I post it.
Well, what it seems to be saying that we've taken from it is that that whole business of Nisara, interim president of Bona, all of that was actually, it all took place. It was legitimate.
Yes.
But it was a last-ditch effort by the cabal.
Can I put another slant on that? Because I've been sitting here thinking about what you're saying, Dee. Was it a last-ditch effort by the cabal, or was it simply a step that needed to take place and it was best executed under the auspices of Nisara and Interpol and whoever else, the positive military, to get the political situation in America to the point where whatever happens next with Obama can happen?
I honestly, Chris, I don't know. This is one, when we were discussing all this, I was on the phone for 2.5-3 hours today going through this, and I actually had one of my military contacts on the phone with me discussing it with Heather at the time. And it's, I don't have a good enough grasp of exactly what is going on, and I'm not quite certain what to say at this point, because I'm not sure of exactly what angle it's going from. I will say that Heather and I have had many, 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 many conversations over the last 2 weeks, especially talking about Nisara and the RV and the global currency revaluation and all these different things happen. And she's been very patient, I have to tell you, because I am very stubborn when I know what I think I know. And I've come to realize through talking with her that there has been in the back of my mind all along on this journey questions, doubts, ponderings, if you will, of the legitimacy of certain actions and certain people and the things that they have done to supposedly bring forth this this everything, the global currency revaluation, the beginning of the Basel III asset-backed currencies, etc. And everything that goes, of course, along with it, with the new financial system. And I realize that those doubts that I've had were literally my higher self screaming at me going, dude, this doesn't make sense. So I'm still trying to fully grasp all of it. But from what I can comprehend so far, I am leaning to the idea, Chris, that some of these people who have been so strongly involved, and I'm not going to start naming names right now, but some of the people who've been so strongly involved in pushing this through are not necessarily the good guys that everyone thinks they are. And I think that comes from when you're working in an intel community, the people, the vast majority of the people that I work with are not enlightened in any way, and they're awakened only from the aspect of politics and seeing the corruption. And they're working towards the goal of financial freedom, if you will, to break it down to the basics. They, you know, trying to get all these things to happen, the prosperity package, they just want the RV to happen, etc. And they all got into it under the same auspice, really, which was just wanting it to get it done. And when you come into something like that, you blind yourself to certain things because you just want to believe that this is the good way and this is the way it's going to happen.
Even to say that this is all there is, because I would imagine that for those people, the sudden appearance of the People's Trust and the implications of it would have been as gobsmacking to them as it is to us.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And quite a few of them have, to this day, still don't understand it. And I've pardon me for a moment. Sorry. I have tried to speak to a few of them about it. And they're, for the most part, they don't want to hear it because they're so focused on, we're at, if I had not met Heather and I had not been involved in all of this and I was still so tightly involved in the minute-to-minute actions, then I would say, we're here, it's going to happen tonight, it's going to happen tomorrow, we're here. Now seeing everything else from such a much broader perspective, I'm able to sit back and be much more critical about the information that I'm getting and being able to look at it and say, well, where is this information coming from? And it's a tough road to walk, let me tell you.
So if I was to call a, I don't know, be blunt about it, Nisara on the surface seemed to be what we were all collectively asking for, an answer to our collective prayers, so to speak. But when you read between the lines and perhaps the way it could have been implemented, it could have been step one in the New World Order. It could have been just a bigger box and a prettier box with a nice sparkly bow on top. But under the guise of something that was, you know, like I said, an answer to all of our collective prayers. Is that being too harsh?
No, maybe a little bit. I think, and again, like I said, I'm going to speak only from my own heart and from because I that's all I can do right now. I don't have hard facts to back up my opinions at this point. It seems to me that what we are seeing was maybe in some way, yes, but that it was a grasping at straws of, okay, if we put this system together, we can, and I'm not necessarily saying it was even, it's even, you know, the bad guys, if there are so-called bad guys. I'm not even saying it's them trying to trick us all into, you know, this New World Order, etc. I think it was the basis that what they were trying to do was still based on flawed reasoning. One of the first things that Heather said to me when we got into a conversation about Nisara was, you have to understand that the American Constitution is not perfect. So if you're going to take it all down, why would you take it all down to a constitution that is not perfect? It needs to go back to prime. And that's been her whole thing all along. And I don't think a lot of people, even myself, really completely understood what she meant by taking it back to prime. And that's kind of what this document that was released today was outlining as the law of one, basically, as it, you know, as it harms none, right? That is basically it, the law of one.
The one of the aspects of Nisara that has always struck me is that it has effects, it would affect everybody, but it's US-centric, and it would actually throw off the corporate structure and return a whole lot of value to the people. But what it left was the system. The system was still there. I mean, they were talking about retraining judges and doing various things, but that's U.S.-centric, and all those mega corporations were still in place. And in the rest of the world, you know, the banking system is still in place. It would only be a matter of time before they regrouped and started the whole cycle again.
And to be quite frank, Chris, you could be absolutely right. I actually spoke to someone a couple of weeks ago who talked about exactly that, saying that it could be, I mean, you have to think that the cabal has been working at this for thousands of years, so to speak, you know, within some groupings or another, they're long-range planners, and maybe they, you know, they could have said, okay, well, we'll start this again, we'll appease everyone, you know, land of milk and honey and all that, and then slowly, you know, over the next 100 years, take control again, or rein it all back in again, because obviously it would still be control.
It doesn't mean the SAR is a bad thing, but it's
no.
You know, it would be too harsh to say it's Band-Aid therapy, but in effect, it wouldn't be a permanent solution to a structural problem that's global. Whereas what the People's Trust is doing absolutely resets it back to a different system globally.
Exactly. And that's just it. Nasara, you know, may have been a perfect Band-Aid, but better to heal it completely.
Yep.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Done deal. And if you... I was speaking about the documents themselves before you came on and how they're written and the fact that everything about them is attached back to the creator and creation, and we've never had any kind of governance or you know, organized communities, globally organized communities that are structured that way. This is the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah, it takes a little getting used to. Talking to Heather is sometimes very, I don't see, no,
challenging.
Word. Challenging. Good word. I was going to say confusing, but challenging is much better. I've kind of said it a few times that on removing the shackles and to people, what I've been speaking to, and said, Heather doesn't really speak 3D
at
all. And so... you kind of have to raise your own level of understanding sometimes to really get it. And that's why I say to people, when you read this, for example, and I said this, I think, I haven't even gone back to read my own article over again, read it out loud. Don't just read it in your mind. Read it out loud. Say the words, read it out loud, and you will feel the energy from it.
Yeah, thank you, Dee. I've been meaning to make a comment like that when I was talking before, trying to encourage people to read the documents. What I forgot to say that I was going to say was, if you're having trouble, read it out.
Yes, it makes all the difference in the world.
You might have to find a quiet spot, because anyone around you will think you know if you're suddenly speaking in tongues. But read it out.
I love the fact that she hasn't directed herself at the lowest common denominator kind of talk. You know, she's right. Maintaining that 5D level of expression, and it's up to us to raise our vibration and raise our consciousness in order to meet it.
Yeah.
And I love that. Because everything else is directed at, is dumbed down for us. And it doesn't serve us at all.
No. You have to work for it, right? You have to put your heart into it and actually work for it, the understanding.
Yeah.
It's not being dumbed down for us.
What I love about the whole process, she's actually taken away the mechanisms of control. Because money has been used to control mankind for centuries. And by removing that whole system of control... she's placed everybody on the same level. Everybody's the same. We're all human. We all live on the same world. We all inherit the same thing, and it's that simple. And when you think about things in those terms, with the technology and the way that we're connected, I don't know where you're speaking from, Dee, right now, but I'm
way up in the Great White North.
I'm in Pennsylvania. and these guys are, Lisa and Chris are in Australia, Barbara's in New York, and we're all communicating in real time together. You know, I mean, our technology has already been 5D for a while. You know, it's very, very organic. The internet is an extremely organic system. You know, and everything has been moving in that direction. You know, the way that we do business has become very organic, networked, like that spider web, or like Trevor likes to say, Lisa, the strawberry patch. And the last thing that we had was our economic system and our governmental structure, which was extremely linear, extremely hierarchical, pyramidal structure. But now, the way that this is done, it allows that natural, organic connection that we all have to actually find expression in the way that we govern ourselves, in the choices that we use to live our lives. And it's beautifully done. I don't think that any one single one of us could have ever thought of how this actually unfolded, because it totally took me by surprise. I had my own ideas. I knew it had to happen eventually. You know, I knew that 2012 was supposed to be the turning point. But, you know, you hear so many stories. Well, it's going to take three generations before we can even, you know, get past the money system. And bam, and that quickly, all of a sudden, we're like, what? It's done? Went out of nowhere.
And Bob sent me a message saying the world changed while you were sleeping.
And it did.
And it did. It worked. Yeah.
The world may not realize it yet, but I will tell you that all those people...
And that's what we were talking about earlier in the show, was it's just a matter now of all of us stepping into the realization that it has changed. It did happen. And share this information with everybody you know. Get them reading the documents, reread them yourself, and start being. As the documents are constantly a call to action to start being. And the more people know, the more people embody it, we're an hour, over an hour into our show, and normally we'd be taking a song break about now. And I do want to actually get back to, because we didn't have time to do it last week, our first show back, but doing our meditation and, you know, putting some energy, collective intent behind this. Dee, we've been running the show now for, I don't know how long. Barbara, when did we start? it was a while ago.
In Australia, it was August 1st.
And one of the things that we focused on for several shows was getting people to really think about, and even whether they wrote it down, whether they shared it on the Facebook page or whatever they, however they wanted to express that, but to really think about what the world would look like, what they want the world to look like post this December 2012 paradigm shift. What do you want to move into? And then, lo and behold, come the end of December 2012, the paradigm shifted. And we just want to, you know, reinforce it, really bring it into our beings and embody it.
Yes. Well, it's one of the things that Heather has said, because, of course, we have, when this all started, I started up an RTS Skype room just so that people could have a place to talk, because RTS is running off of Blogger at the moment, and unfortunately Blogger can't handle the comments because we're getting 300 and 400 comments on articles, and Blogger literally has a mental breakdown when you do that. And so I created this Skype room, and everyone's like, we want to help, what do we do? And it's like, just do. Take the bull by the horns and run with it. And we've had some phenomenal things come out. People starting up websites, a couple people who are writing a petition that's going to go on the White House petition site. All these things. But the one thing that Heather said was, you know, every time someone posts a comment, they are being. Yeah. Every time they're speaking from their heart and either to each other or like I said, on a blog post, et cetera, says, that is part of doing. That is taking action right there.
Yep. And okay. Until people know what the next step is to do after that, then that's enough.
Yeah. Well, the first step...
Sorry,
Dee, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of the biggest things that, because Heather's keep saying, you know, just be and do, be and do, and there's so many people asking what to do. And I think I understand that part of the reason Heather doesn't get into that is because we have spent hundreds of generations being told what to do.
Exactly.
That's not what it's about anymore. Now it's about being and doing. Don't wait for someone to tell you what to do. Find what's in your heart and do it. Just do it. That's what it's about. You don't need someone to tell you what to do. Just do what you need to do.
And also, we've been so tied up in processes.
Hey, Lisa.
You know, and especially, yes?
People in chat are saying that they've lost sound. So I just want to make sure that we're aware of that. If anyone, we're going to keep going, and this will be available on the archive version because we are still connected to the blog talk. I suggest people try to refresh, and I'll put it in there. But I did just want to mention that for anybody who, you know, who listens to this later.
It looks like some of them are refreshing, and they're getting the sound back.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue, please.
No, that's good. Thank you. Okay. I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, process. Yeah, I mean, especially people who have, you know, gotten involved in different organizations, you know, followed straw man movements and, you know, all that the technologies that have come on board over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, there's a real process. Lots of paperwork and processes to follow. There's usually one person, often a male, at the head of these groups that, you know, instructs you on what processes to follow. So as soon as Heather mentioned tools, I think people interpreted that as instructions, and are sort of waiting for instructions.
Wait no longer.
Now have I lost everybody? Oh, no.
No, we're still here. And look, on the subject of what to do, aside from communicating with those around you to spread information about this and learning about it yourself, the next step is to actually start talking to the system in the language that it understands, and that's legalese on paper. And if that's not your thing, that's fine. There may be some sets of documents coming out probably fairly quickly which will be effective against the system with problems that you have, or even simply for noticing the system that you, a living being, are aware of this big shift and that they'd better be aware of it too, because, you know, to give you a for instance, you might decide to actually notice your bank to let them know that their charter was cancelled, that they actually don't have any money anymore, nor do you have a contract with them, and that your house title doesn't exist anymore, and that you have no further wish or need to communicate with them. Thank you very much. And that's the sort of documentation that will come out from the examples that Heather has given. And there'll be lots of other things too for dealing with specific problems. And I'm sure there's many, many people working on them now. And there's certainly people in Australia doing the same thing. And if we, as we will, communicate with one another and pass these things around, eventually there will be no doubt in the minds of everybody inside the system as to what the people want. And that's probably the most important aspect of the doing and being at this stage, a little bit down the track from now, you know, in the next weeks and months. And that just begins by starting to learn more about it.
Right.
Sorry, I muted myself because there was a train going past, but yeah. I think we should go to our song break, which is Can You Feel It?, which was actually suggested by one of our listeners, and it's a perfect song for today. So sit back and enjoy for the next 5.5 minutes or so. And when we come back, we will do our very enjoyable meditations. By Bob, probably. I just put him on the spot, but you've got 6 minutes to prepare, Bob.
I'll
talk to you soon. Thank you, Dee, for joining us. And if you can hold on during the song and come back with us, that'd be great.
I will do my best.
Lovely. You know, I have to say that the music over the last few weeks, you know, with the collective imagination as well, wherever it's come from, it's just been perfect. And I've been getting private Skype messages throughout that with people sending me the dancing icon and people having a good time. I have to say, my dance moves are perfect for radio.
I have to admit, that's about my level too.
Mm-hmm. But I had fun nonetheless. Okay, I'm glad you all had fun. So sit back down and listen. Oh, that was good. So, Chris, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah, look, I was just doing my own version of grooving here, reading this release from today, and I just wanted to read this particular sentence out to everybody just to highlight a bit about how Heather thinks and what is actually going on, the process that's actually going on here. And it's a short paragraph, so I'll just read it out. The beings known as Obama, Saint Germain, and others have known from the beginning what the public trust was and is doing. And they had knowledge of the methods and means used by the public trust to secure, guard, preserve, and protect the one. And on December 24th, 2012, the public trust did officially notify them that the public trust was ready to initiate the public announcement process to unlock the hidden value and law by assisting the one to consciously know that they be and to consciously choose by their free will how they want to do. That appears to me at this point to be the bigger picture over the incidents we've been seeing of Nasara and whatever's going on in politics, which essentially is disclosure and a new paradigm.
Yes.
So they were notified on the 24th that they were ready, and then the public trust website went live on the 25th.
And then on January 11th, the disclosure was made, and this is the follow-up to that, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And people mm-hmm. I don't think most people really understand the magnitude of the release that came out on January 11th. And that is, in my understanding, when I read it, I was just like the ground shook when I read it. That is the authorization of disclosure to go ahead on all
yeah.
levels.
Yeah.
One person has just put a question in the chat room, which is, how do we get this message out to people who have no idea about any of this stuff, who are not into the freedom movement, or, you know, they're not in down the spiritual path and you know, completely asleep on all levels? How do you even broach this subject with them?
I can give you my suggestion there.
I think that there's been some tremendous work already done. What's Zeitgeist? What's Thrive? You
yes.
know, it's a great introductory. That, I mean, there's tons of documentaries and films that are out there that will succinctly put a person into perspective of what's been going on this planet. You know, at least give them some semblance of an idea of how we've been sold into slavery, at least. And once they have that concept, you know, because most people already realize that the system is messed up, but they don't know how, then they'll have a better understanding about what's going on with the One People's Trust.
I agree. Thrive is probably the best one to start them at, because Zeitgeist can whack you over the head a bit.
Yeah, Zeitgeist is kind of a little bit heady, but yeah, Thrive is great.
And what was your suggestion, Chris?
Tell them they're worth $10
billion. $10
billion. That'll get their attention. But look, now, I just somewhat. Everyone has their particular thing that's bothering them at the moment, and everyone's under a lot of financial pressure, emotional pressure, maybe it's health pressure. And if you say to them, look, I've run across this information about something which could change everything so much that problems like yours could just go away. And just start the conversation like that, because it is just a conversation.
Actually, and the problem has gone away. You just haven't realized it yet.
Well, you could say that, but that might confuse them if they have not struck anything like this before. And it really doesn't matter. You've got to just trust your gut when you initiate those conversations, because I've done it a lot, and I'm a lot better at it than I was when I started. You know, I basically would fly in and try and convert people in 30 seconds, and, well, you know where that goes. It doesn't work. But you've just got to...
You've been using my flight plan.
Yeah, that's right, the crash and burn flight plan. You've just got to hit a hot button, something that's currently bothering them, and it might be they're annoyed with politicians, it might be they're annoyed with the bank, it might be they're just annoyed with their life. And all you have to do is get a conversation started, and if you think they're really not ready to jump into some pretty heavy-duty stuff, which this is, then Thrive is great. Or Zeitgeist, if they're a bit more political. There's plenty of material out there to use, but you know, initiating that conversation is the key thing, because that's the being and doing we're talking about, even just at that simple level.
Thrive is like the equivalent to me of the Secret. You know, it very sort of gentle introductory.
Yep.
I mean, it's still mind blowing if you've got no idea, but it's a gentler introductory than anything else out there.
Well, the other aspect is the free energy stuff, which Thrive does focus on. And, you know, a lot of people are really burning from electricity bills at the moment. And, you know, the possibility that all that could shift as well is something that will attract their attention.
Actually, I wanted to ask Dean, before we move on to a meditation, what your understanding is of the CVACs and how to activate them or bring them into being.
Oh, please, I do not have that under my belt yet at all.
Okay.
I'm still trying to fully digest that. I think it's going to take a few more conversations with a few people to really wrap my head exactly what that entails, what it empowers, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really, that's one area that I'm a little gray on.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I just wanted to jump in, though, and say, going back to what we were just talking about, and Chris said about free energy, every person, no matter how conservative they are, I have found, has something, whether it's pharmaceutical stuff, vaccines, maybe they're questions about the vaccines. For myself, before I took on this role, I was a political activist and an advocate for childbirth and maternal and infant health. And you cannot believe how many people have woken up just from talking in those terms. And you start talking about the treatment of women during childbirth and how they're disempowered and their power is taken away from them. And you start talking to women, they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, I understand. And sometimes that's all it takes is one comment. It can be about fluoride in the water. It can be about infant formula. It can be about vaccines. It can be about chemtrails. It can be about any number of things. Sometimes all it takes is just that one small thing, and it starts the ball rolling.
That's it. It's a matter of navigating, helping them to navigate beyond that. Beyond that initial conversation, okay, it might be about fluoride, taking it into a more general conversation about, well, why is there even fluoride in the water? Who organized that? Why are they even doing it?
Yeah.
That's the bit where, experience does make it easier to do, because you kind of have to lead them out into an expanded thought on the whole subject.
I've seen people literally glaze over. All you have to do is mention Hitler and fluoride in the same sentence, and they just go,
"Oh, exactly."
Oh,
yeah.
No.
This is a fine art, the fine art of opening people's eyes. But see, one of the things that I've been long waiting for is the time when there's an event such as Obama's inauguration might be, which unlocks the hold over the mainstream media. And volumes of this information will start pouring out in a fairly short space of time if that takes place. Then our
remember
role will...
Chris, remember not that long ago, there were rumours in the alternative media about Murdoch.
Yes.
Now, there was two versions of this. There was that he was being thrown out of the cabal for not playing by the rules. The other version was that he was trying to extract himself from their control. Now, Murdoch being such a huge player globally with the mainstream media, if either of those are true, I mean, if he's been, you know, slapped over the hand and thrown out of the club, whatever his motivation for doing so, he may start.
Yes.
I just remembered that, that's all. It just popped into my head.
Yeah, once it starts, our role will shift from being trying to subtly introduce people to something that they may or may not even think exists out there, to being someone with a fire extinguisher putting out people running around with their hair on fire. Okay, so as soon as that level of information starts pouring out, it'll be a case of calming people down who are panicking or just in a state of fear. We have to get the fear out of the equation immediately that process starts to happen, because it will appear a thing of fear to a lot of people, and we've got to diffuse that as quickly as possible. So,
Sorry,
go ahead, Dee.
I was just going to say, in the conversations that I had with Heather today, which were incredibly enlightening on a lot of topics, one of the things that we discussed is the fact that disclosure is moving forward. It may not be coming in all the ways, shapes, and forms that people expected it to be, but I believe that we're going to see it snowball. And over the next week to 2 weeks, it is going to, I believe, extremely snowball. There's news coming out. There's news, little bits and articles are coming out. You have to keep your eyes open and be able to read it. And I think that as this gets done, once we get past the 21st, my understanding is that we're going to see some very serious disclosures on all levels.
Well, we've talked about it a few times on this show, that when it doesn't show up the way you think it's going to show up, you don't recognize it for what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And disclosure is not going to be the President of the United States or, you know, a representative of the UN or something, you know, on mainstream media globally making an announcement. And it may not look like that at all. And some people are really attached to the idea that that's what disclosure means, and anything less than that is not disclosure.
Right.
We need to define disclosure too. A lot of people in the alternative media think the disclosure is all about ETs. That's probably the very last level of information that will come out sometime in the future to any great degree. What we need to learn is our history and what actually happened in the last 200 years, because we think we know, but we don't.
Another thing that people need to get past, their fear of disappointment sometimes overrides their hope and their belief in their own creation, you know, and I see that happen so often, and, you know, because we've all been waiting for so long and we've heard and we've been disappointed before. That fear of disappointment needs to go away, because there's no reason for it. There's no need for it. It's already here. You know, you can't be disappointed because you've already gotten what you wanted.
Mm. Nicely said. Are you ready to lead a meditation?
Not really, but that's not going to stop you, is it?
You're good at winging it.
Yeah, we'll wing it. Are we just going to do a meditation? We'll see what comes out, or are we having any specific...
Well, I think, again, we should, you know, try and all connect to that blue orb that we've created that represents this collective and the, you know, allow ourselves to embody this sense of freedom that comes with this knowledge, and put our energy behind the energy that is making this happen, that kind of thing.
We need to spread the knowing that this is real.
I think we need to see this information just sweeping the planet in waves, and the embodiment of that information sweeping it in waves, that sense of freedom that comes with it really clicking in people, just seeing that go from person to person to person.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Well, the chat room.
We'll see what happens, Lisa, because I usually just zone in and whatever feels right will come out.
Just bring out Guru Bob. Yeah,
Guru Bob. Channel Guru Bob. Lisa SF just said a love wave, which is a nice way of looking at it.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Dee, see what you can do. You've got a couple of minutes. You got a couple of minutes while we do a meditation.
How much time do I have?
Probably about 10 minutes.
I'll see what I can do. I'll be back.
Just mute yourself in the meantime.
I will.
Okay. And I will start our meditation music.
Everyone, I want you to begin with just breathing. A deep breath in the nose and out of your mouth. In this release of breath, you are releasing all of the old, all of the old paradigms, all of the old fears, the old systems and ways of doing things, all being released. Relax, and with each breath, I want you to expand your heart field. And that energy, as it moves through you, relaxes every muscle, heals all ailments, releases all tension. Yes. We have toiled for very long. And now is the time to receive. As your energy flows out, it connects with all the others. All the things around you are absorbed in it. It begins to pulse with your vibration, with your heart pulse. The room around you vibrates with this energy. The earth beneath you vibrates with this energy. The planet itself is moving with you. I want you to visualize all of the dreams that you've ever had, all of the freedoms you've never allowed yourself to express, the adventures you've never allowed yourself to have, all pouring out into a bluish, pulsating orb of energy. All of these things are now coalescing together. And this big, huge blue orb is now becoming your new world. Imagine this blue, pulsating world that you have created as the earth that you are standing on right now. And understand that in this new world, there is no need, there is no want. All that you wish is there for you. There is no need for toiling or pain or suffering, but only for the things that make you happy, joyful, and free. Imagine the world the way you wish to see it, whether it be on a beach or in the mountains, whether it be in the snows of winter or in the summer, whichever it is that you prefer, because all of it is available for you now. For all of you have come to this place. All of you have made this choice to share this world that you have created together as brothers and sisters of humanity, brothers and sisters of this new world. Allow yourself to be. There is no work, no taxes, none of the things that we wish to remember in our old life. This is a new place to be. As this gold bluish orb and glowing world that you have created is being crystallized into reality, understand that this is your future. This is your home now. You are free. Free to be all of those things you never allowed yourself to be. To go to all of those places you've never allowed yourself to go. And you are supported in all of those things. Again, return to your breath and understand that now is the time to celebrate. Celebrate your accomplishment, for you have arrived. You have come to the end of this journey and the beginning of a new adventure for all of humanity. And as you go about your day, you will not feel the same anymore. You will not feel burdened anymore. But you will be free, and you will allow your other brothers and sisters to be free. You have entered the light of a new day. And so it is.
Come on back, everybody. Thank you, Bob. That was lovely.
You're welcome.
You are good at winging it. Unfortunately, Dee had to leave us. She has, and this is just a side comment, but all the women who I'm aware of that have come to the fore, not necessarily publicly, but come to the fore in different groups and different areas, are all mothers of young children. You know, Heather's got four young kids. Dee's got young kids. The other woman I'm thinking of is Melissa from Divine Province. She's got, she's about to have her fourth kid. You know, it's women and it's mothers who get something. I don't know, there's something going on.
Well, I have to point this out, Lisa, that the one CVAC that's been executed and put in place has one public servant in it, acting as president, the initializing human in a CVAC, and it's Heather. And she's already let us know privately that she's acting in more or less a placeholder role, that she doesn't expect it to be her career. That's a great precedent, though.
Yeah.
And absolutely appropriate. The return of the divine feminine.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's all this talk of, you know, it's Gaia's time, and Gaia, this feminine planet that we live on, is coming into her own, and it's all about the feminine energy, and yet it's still been men at the forefront. So when Heather came on board as the, and it's not, I mean, this is not a one-person show. This is not Heather. You know, this is, Heather is the contact point and, the, you know, the face of it for now and the voice of it for now. But that alone said a great deal to me. I mean, there's just, the other two trustees are men, but it's her. It's her that's come forward. And I think that's completely appropriate. So.
Indeed. I hope we can hear from the other two trustees as well as this process goes on.
Well, I think it's appropriate because most of humanity have come from their mothers.
Most?
Most.
If they didn't, we've got a problem.
There's a couple people I might have questions about, but yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm really grateful that Dee could come on today, and she can't hear this now, but it was fantastic to hear from her, and she's obviously someone who's well used to rolling with rapid change.
Yeah, well, the reason she had to run off is that her youngest was, as she said, she just put them to bed, but her youngest was calling out for mummy, so.
There you go, higher calling.
Yes, Barbara.
I wanted to let all the listeners and the folks in chat know this as well. We mentioned Thrive earlier, and I just posted in the chat room the link to that Journey into Frequency meditation music that we use. And I went over to our Facebook page, the Collective Imaginations Facebook page, because we do have a YouTube link, and that goes to our channel. But there's also a button under that YouTube channel link that says favorites. And if you click on it, you can actually watch. There's a link to the official movie, the full Thrive movie, if anyone wants to watch it, and a link to the Journey into Frequencies meditation music. So anyone who wants to watch that movie or listen to the meditation music again, it's as simple as going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thecollectiveimagination. Then click on the YouTube tab, say that five times fast, and then click on the favorites button, and there you go.
Well, thank you very much. Now, you've been really quiet through the course of this show. Is there any questions you wanted to pose or comments you wanted to make?
No, but the only thing that I am interested in is learning more about the titling process with respect to homes so that I can help support folks in my area anyway, who are in the process of foreclosure, to help them save their homes and, you know, just deal with these issues. But, you know, that's a topic for another day. But, no, I was just absorbing.
Oh, okay, lovely. Thank you. I think we're all absorbing, and this absorbing process is ongoing. we've only got a few minutes left. So, Bob, did you have any closing comments?
Boy, what can I say? I don't know what. I just would like to say that thank you, everyone, for all of their participation in making this a reality, because we did it. I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done. Obviously, we've got a whole world that we need to basically clean up and rebuild, but imagine what it would look like. I mean, imagine what it's going to be like to go to work when you know that what you're doing is just making the world more beautiful. You know, that you're cleaning up, or you're teaching, or you're doing whatever it is that you really, really love to do. But you get to do it, and you get to be paid for it, basically, just because that's your value. You know, your value is whatever it is that you love to do, whatever it is you choose to be. That, it's just a wonderful idea. I mean, it's a natural idea, but it's one that's been denied us for so long. It's almost become unnatural.
Yeah, it has.
Indeed.
And Chris?
Yeah. Well, this is what we asked for. Something new, something that would serve everybody. And we're here. We now have to actually inflate that balloon. We have to make it work, but we're here. And that in and of itself, that's just amazing. Just the journey to get here is just amazing. So we need to celebrate that as well. Don't view this as being, this next step is going to be sort of uncomfortable for a lot of people, but just view it as a fantastic thing.
One of the things that Heather did mention, and she did say it several times, have fun with this.
Yeah,
please,
absolutely.
Have fun with this.
Can you imagine how much fun it would be to go to your bank and say goodbye?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, I remember when I the worst job I ever had was working at a bank, as a matter of fact. I was an exceptions clerk. I used to go through... mortgages to make sure that everybody signed and that the debt-to-income ratio was just at certain percentage or whatever. The day that I gave my 2 weeks' notice was the best day. Oh, my God, I had so much. I told my boss that I was leaving. And at that point, you know, those last 2 weeks of work were the best 2 weeks of work at that bank that I had the whole time that I was there, because I didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the things that, you know, if we remove our fear of the powers that be, because they really don't have any power anymore. You know, they're the absence of powers that be. You know, and let them, because if you can have fun with it, then you know you're doing something right. You know, because there's no fear when you're laughing, you know, when people are coming and they're like, oh, we're here, tax, let's have a conversation, you know.
We have a colleague who's got a neat little process here in Australia for making government people run away, and he gets a very strange reaction, because when someone from a government department contacts him, he says, you know, to hassle him, he doesn't say, oh, go away. He says, hi, how are you? Thanks, you're another customer. Because he charges people to even talk to him. He just thinks of them, and if he gets a letter, he sends them an invoice for taking up his time. And you know, that's him having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great way to see them as a potential customer. I'm here to happy to do business. You know,
Yep. This
is what it'll cost you to do business with me.
Yep, all of that stuff. Just while we've got one moment, if anyone wants to read a document that's in pretty straightforward English that describes what the CVACs do, there's a document on the site and it's in UCC Filings 2012 Part 2, the very last document called Contract for CVC Branch. It's pretty much plain English. If you start on page 2 and work your way through, it specifies all of the things that CVEC is actually responsible for in pretty clear English. And that'll give you some idea of why we're gobsmacked about the whole thing, because this is nothing like you've ever seen. So have fun with that.
I'm going to leave everybody with a message from Heather. Love you all. You're doing what you all be is so beautiful and powerful. And that is the point. Does everyone get that?
I get it.
It's that 5D speak of Heather's.
Did she just send that?
Yep.
Oh, yes, maybe she was listening, maybe.
Maybe.
So
you're doing what you all be is so beautiful and powerful, and that's the point. So remember that, people. And she's been an amazing guiding. She's a guiding light right now, and I'm very, very grateful for her and the people she's associated with and everybody she's working with that have made this happen. So thank you to every one of you, again, for tuning in, participating in this wonderful adventure into a new whole new paradigm. And we will see you again next week. Where I promise, Bob, I'll let you off the hook, and I will guide next week's meditation. I promise.
Okay, there you go.
And we'll talk to you all soon, very soon. In the meantime, read, reread, read them out loud, share them. Talk soon. Bye for now.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Bye-bye.